Hi, everyone. I'm Kimberly Dudick, and welcome to Making Hope. This season on our podcast, we're talking about ways you can take steps every single day to fight back against sexism, oppression, and fight for reproductive justice. We're looking at how to do this by examining what cities and counties can do to protect abortion access. This is important because even though there are state or federal laws, many times local particular factors can affect whether abortions are safe and accessible. We can also push local officials to prioritize reproductive justice and implement the policies that we want to see. It's important to know that this can happen even in anti-choice states because the people elected locally are different and they have different powers. For states considered pro-choice with accessible abortion, local policies can provide an opportunity to protect and expand access for others, which might help people from out of state who have to come to that state solely to seek abortion care services. And for those states that feel entitled to restrict abortion access, there are still opportunities for action that exist at a local level to protect reproductive rights. We can try to create the communities that we want to see, those that are fully supportive of reproductive rights, and then we can build on this to make those communities even bigger, spread to a statewide level, and eventually again across the nation. On the last episode, we talked about how the built environment with zoning rules and regulations can impact reproductive justice. On this episode, we're going to talk about how local rules can support reproductive rights by supporting the workers who work at these locations and the patients who go there to seek care. Local rules can support reproductive rights by supporting the workers and patients who are at these locations. Localities can ensure the safety of those who work or seek services from reproductive care and abortion clinics by passing local laws and ordinances to protect these workers while they are at the abortion care facility. Unfortunately, anti-choice activists feel empowered and emboldened to pursue harmful, violent acts against abortion providers and abortion care clinics. Over the years, there have been shootings of abortion care providers. The first noted murder of a reproductive care doctor was the shooting death of Dr. David Gunn in Pensacola, Florida, on March 10, 1993, by an anti-abortion extremist. This extremist was convicted of the murder in March of 1994 and sentenced to life in prison. Unfortunately, Pensacola saw prior violence against abortion clinics when on Christmas Day in 1984, two doctors' offices and one clinic were bombed by abortion opponents who were later arrested, convicted, and jailed for their crimes. So it's nice to see that these people are being caught, but it doesn't stop the harm that they cause. This sort of violence is all too common. And Florida is a large state with a large population, but these types of crimes are not only in large states. In Montana, where I live, we have a population of just over 1 million people, although we are the fourth largest state geographically. In January of 1992, the Missoula, Montana office of Planned Parenthood that performed abortions was set afire in an arson attack and suffered heavy damage. There have been other arson fires too, one by a serial anti-abortion extremist who torched seven abortion clinics in western states, including three in Montana. These were in Helena, Kalispell, and Missoula. The arsonist was finally caught and again sentenced to 7 years in 1998, but the harm that he caused could not be erased. Yet another extremist who had an impact on reproductive care in Montana occurred in Kalispell, Montana in 2014, when this extremist physically destroyed the inside of a clinic of an abortion care provider in Kalispell. This eventually caused the abortion care provider to stop providing abortion care, and unfortunately, she was the only one in the area that provided that type of care. So this has a big impact on the health of the women and those who identify as women and have uteruses in that area, because now they can't have this kind of care. or they have to travel a very large distance for that care. And this shouldn't be a big surprise, but the mother of this extremist was on the board of a local organization that pushed for people to explore alternatives to abortion. The extremist in this situation was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 20 years in prison with 15 years suspended. So again, he was arrested, but the ripple effects from his action cannot be erased. Saying I'm sorry isn't enough, and sentencing someone to prison or jail doesn't erase the crime. These are just a few of the examples of the types of violence that some feel justified to use against those who provide abortion care. Many additional clinics suffer vandalism, bombings, arson, and protests or blockades. After Dr. Gunn's murder in 1994, the federal government enacted the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. This is called the FACE Act. This act prohibits intentional property damage and the use of force or threat of force or physical obstruction to injure, intimidate, or interfere with someone entering a healthcare facility. So that would include abortion care clinics. To fight back against extremists and this violence, states and localities can enact similar laws and ordinances to the FACE Act to protect abortion care providers from vandalism and the patients as well as the providers and employees from being obstructed and stopped from entering the facilities. Another thing that can be done is laws and ordinances can be passed that create buffer zones around the clinics to provide a zone of protection around the clinic. Or you could also have what is called a floating buffer zone that provides several feet of protection around a person so that protesters have to stay so many feet away from that individual unless the person consents to being approached. This is when they're entering the clinic, so they won't be mobbed when they're entering a clinic. These types of laws and ordinances can prevent harm and harassment in the future before it occurs, which really is ideal. We don't need more violence in the world. If you want to start working on this issue and have local leaders take action so that clinics and employees, providers, or clients are protected, here's what you need to do. First, decide what you want to do and who you want to contact. So sit down and write out what you would like to have done and write out a script or write out just an outline of what you would like to say. Then you won't forget anything when you're talking to them. Then find the contact information. It should be for the mayor, city council people, and county commissioners, and talk about what you want to see them do. So you want to see them enact these provisions like in the FACE Act or buffer zones to protect people at clinics. If you don't want to talk to them, that's okay. Send them an email. People read a lot of emails these days, and it's okay to send an email instead of talking to someone. Let them know that you support policies and regulations that are protective of abortion care providers, of clinics, and of those who work or who go to these clinics for care. Let them know you want to see them pass policies that support these notions. You can also do more in your personal sphere of influence. Use your personal platform as power. Talk to others and post online about what you want to see done and why. Write to your local paper and share your thoughts there. These are all steps that you can take to help protect the fundamental right to obtain an abortion. These are concrete steps, they're not abstract. These are things you can do in as little as 10 minutes a day if you don't have a lot of time to devote to this, which many of us are so busy, we don't. You can help protect Americans' constitutional rights, and you can help provide for the safety of people at these clinics. We have the power to shape the world we want, and we're not powerless to stop extremists and those who think it's okay to commit violence against others. It is time for us to act and push for the policies that we want to see. Thank you for joining us today. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more ways that you can advocate to protect reproductive rights. If you want to stay up to date, follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Making Hope Podcast. Go to Twitter at Making Hope Pod. If you follow us there, you will see what we're doing and you can stay involved. If you want to reach out about these issues, please send an email to makinghopepodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. This podcast is a tool for you to use in the fight for reproductive freedom. We give you ideas and you take and put those into action. Together, we can win this fight and make a better future for us and future generations. Until next time, keep fighting the good fight.